Happy Cinco de Mayo 2020. You're listening to episode 113.
Join me, animal naturopath Dr. Kim Bloomer, host of the Doggone Truth podcast, where I don't whitewash, I just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. It's natural, it's raw, it's the bonafide truth. Can you dig it? If you really want to dig in, then go to www.doggonetruth.club.
Hello, I'm Dr. Kim. I'm your host. And this week we are going to talk about the parasite fear. Oh no, we're hitting fear again. We must continue to do that. It's so important. You know, I got to participate in the Streamathon for Pets.com 24-hour Streamathon to help promote and support not just rescues, but also small businesses, small pet businesses. So I thought it was great. I got to watch the bird guy with the predator birds that he had, and it was amazing. It was amazing to watch. He had parrots too. So it was just, that was fun for me because they were running behind, as often happens in these kind of technical things. I remember when we did an online dog expo for 3 days back in 2006. The guy who had created it, Rob, who was from Australia, and it was Co-op World, nobody had seen anything like that. And now, if he could have only had it funded and done, he would probably be a platform we would all be using today. It was amazing. And that's how I got my start in podcasting. So one topic that comes up a lot, especially this time of year, even though right now people are focused on another entirely different thing, viruses, in particular, I want to share with you this topic because, for one thing, I recently just created an ebook on it, and it's titled Pest Free Dogs. And you guys can get a copy of that when you sign up for my newsletter. I finally decided I better get busy with doing a newsletter. I have text message newsletter that goes out every week on oils, but not one in particular. I've tried in the past and it just wasn't my focus. I've done them and I've done well with them, but you know, it's just one of those things. I decided this is a good time to start this. So you can just go to my blog at aspenbloompetcare.com/blog, and on the sidebar you'll see the sign up right there. On the sidebar you'll see where to sign up, and that you will then in the welcome email receive the download link to get that ebook. So we're going to talk a little bit about this today just because it comes up all the time. What brought it to mind for me was when I was doing this streamathon, this topic, it was part of my overall presentation. I went, I need to hit this a little bit more and then share the stories a little bit more in depth with you guys. So I really do want to open with some of the similar quotes that I use there because they're really apropos to what we're going to be talking about today, and also to hit that fear thing again. It's mindset, more than anything, mindset. Albert Schweitzer said, the greatest discovery of any generation is that human beings, and I'm adding in animals, can alter their lives by altering the attitudes of their minds. Now, the animals aren't going to alter their attitudes of their minds because animals are just, they think instinctively and they think on a different way. In a different level than us, but we can alter our thinking towards them. And when we change our own attitudes of our minds, it's going to affect them. It can determine health or disease in us and our animals. The thing that happens and that I've talked about so much is that fear will paralyze. Think straight, can't focus, don't know what to do. I'm scared. Blind faith in what we're being told to do rather than our critical thinking. Faith, however, is the opposite. It will propel us forward and it will help us to think clear. We get on our knees and we seek God for the answers. I got to share a little bit just about my dog, both my dogs, Fridge, my golden retriever, and then Shadrach, because they're who really helped me to see this. This won't be a very long podcast, but I want to share on them because they're who I started really thinking about wanting to help and to see what I could do to make things better for them and not be in this fear. So we're going to pull back the curtain on the fake wizard that gets us to react in fear. And I know what some people are going to say, and I got an answer for that too. So I always do, right? Doesn't mean I'm right. It just means that it's my experience and what I have applied in my own life to help my dogs have a better life. And then I will share a quote that I have shared so many times by a musician. He's amazing. He's got a great article. And that article really speaks to this very thing. And we got to really start asking ourselves questions. Are these toxic things really going to protect our dogs? And are they really, what is the answer? Because we have to understand that anytime we use these harsh, toxic chemicals against nature, nature's going to rally every time. It's going to rebound and the strong will survive. And then we have super bugs, super things, super viruses, super bacteria, all those things. So Fridge was my golden retriever that I had back in the late 80s. I was working in a vet clinic as a vet tech at the time. And client came in and through this whole parvo incidents that we had, not with the litter, but with a mixed litter that she had, she decided she wanted to give me a puppy from her purebred litter. And I was like, okay, awesome. Because I've loved golden retrievers. I'd had one before. And it was a breed that was just one that I was always attracted to. Easygoing dogs, you know, at least they were. So we got Fridge. He was the largest puppy in the litter and he was named Fridge because he was named after, at the time, the Chicago Bears were the big team that won the Super Bowl that year in 1986. So that was the year Fridge was born. So he got named after Refrigerator Perry, who was called the Fridge, big tank of a guy. And Fridge was like that. He was the biggest puppy and he ended up being 112-pound golden retriever, which was really big. I like the big ones. I don't have great big ones now, but I sure do still like them. I love the big dogs, the giant breeds, especially Mastiff, Dane kind of thing. What happened with Fridge was after his first rabies vaccine, he started having petit mal seizures. They would last about a minute or so. And he started having them from, because I vaccinated him at age 3 months, which is what we were taught to do. It's what I believed we were supposed to do. We did it yearly back then. That's what I did with him. Fortunately for him, he had other things going in his favor, but he lived to be nearly 13. And people say, see, that proves it's good. No, he died of cancer. And I'm not surprised. He had a lot of skin issues and it was a skin cancer that went into his body. So he had skin issues all his life and it was from the kibble. It was from the vaccines and it was the repetition of it all. What happened is I started noticing eventually later on things like he would just have weird cysts and rash and constant ear infections. And through time, because we were still using pesticides in my home, pesticides in the yard, pesticides everywhere. I was scared of every darn bug, right? What I would notice is that every time we did, it would trigger seizures in Fridge. And I said, I need to find an alternative. So we quit using the stuff in the home. And lo and behold, I started to feel better. And it was just the beginning. He kind of cracked open the door for me into natural health. That's when I went to all organic gardening for him. And it really made a difference. His seizures were much fewer and further between. In the end, they were lasting 2 to 3 minutes. And he wasn't totally disoriented like it would be in a grand mal. And I experienced that later with my Great Dane. Didn't like the thought that he would be alone. He also used to react really, really terrified, like try to get under anything he could find whenever there was a thunderstorm or there was fireworks. And that is known as thunder or noise phobias, which are often attributed to the vaccines. So you add that all together. And I said, I have to do something. I have to learn about this. I want to know about this. I want to do something differently. However, at the time I started reading some books on alternative health for dogs and animals in general, and I wasn't real sure. You know, I just thought, you know, I was really stuck in my own paradigm, in my own status quo. Poor Fridge, he just started having all kinds of things. They would say that it was seasonal and normal. Hot spots and rashes are not normal. They're common, but they're not normal. Chronically infected ears and runny eyes are common, but they're not normal. So those were the things that he constantly had. And tartar on his teeth, duh. So all those things were contributing to his ill health and ultimately his demise. So the simple solutions are what I'm going to, that I have in the ebook. People are going to go, oh, that's just too simple. Well, you know, it is what it is. Chris Tigreen said simple solutions are always considered irrelevant and inconsequential even when they're true. And that's why I go to the laws of health and I go to nutrition as a foundation. So let's jump to my dog, Shadrach. He was the dog who was the reason why I went back to school to become an animal naturopath, why I started podcasting, blogging, teaching, all of it. It was him. And I've taught on him. There's a podcast here called Nothing But the Dog in Him, Shadrach the Neo-Mastiff, Nothing But the Dog in Him. And you can find that one and listen to it because I really tell that story in the book from my book, Animals Taught Me That. And Daniel J. Burstein said, the greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance, but it is the illusion of knowledge. Wow. Here's the thing. I started with Shadrach. I kind of went right back to the flea and tick stuff. See, I was using flea and tick stuff directly on Fridge too. Directly on him, bathing him with those flea and tick shampoos and all that stuff. I was giving him a monthly heartworm pill, which is nothing more than a pesticide, by the way. And eventually it causes the liver so much damage that the body can't rally and duh, it's going to succumb to something eventually. Well, Shadrach, when I would go to put it on, would try to run. The first time he didn't do anything because he didn't know what it was. The second time, which was a monthly thing during the spring that I would apply to him, he'd try to get away from me every time. And as soon as he could get outside, he would roll in the dirt, roll in the grass, roll in the dirt, roll in the grass. And I'm wearing gloves and I'm saying, this is for your own good. I had to dispose of it in a certain way, the container and everything, right? Because it's like a hazard waste. Then I started to get a clue. This is a pesticide. And when I looked into them and they're neurotoxic, a lot of them, which means it's going to affect the nervous system in the brain. I thought, how are we putting this on our pets wearing gloves and we think it's okay for it to be on their skin and it goes into their body? By the way, you'll be told no. But yeah, of course, if it's on the fur, which is an extension of their skin, it's going to go into their bodies, just like it does us. 60% of what we put on our bodies goes into us. So we got to know what we're putting on ourselves as well. And I'm putting that on him every month. Wow. So I quit doing that, and much to Shadrach's glee, and he was, I'm sure, very glad that I quit doing that. At any rate, I started going to this whole health simple solutions approach. Made all the difference in his coat, in his attitude, in his health, everything. And you know, I was a few years into his life before I totally got a clue on this. Here's the thing that I hear a lot of times. Well, there are, you know, we have Lyme disease in my area. The bugs are endemic in my area. Ticks are really bad. I have all of this. Here's the thing. There is a synergy and a symbiosis in nature to perpetuate their species, to keep the species alive. So I work with nature in my own yards. I don't use any of the pesticides or any of the chemical fertilizers. I do not use any of these kind of pesticides on my dogs anymore. None of them since Shadrach. And I allow the ants, oh, they can't come into my house, right? Okay, I don't want that. But the ants will help keep the aphids in check and they help support the caterpillars that become butterflies. So there's this symbiosis. If there is sometimes an overgrowth or something, I might use a soap or something in my yard. I really just try to use really good nutrition for the yard so that it keeps the bugs gone. There's a balance. My dog's bodies are supported with a correct diet that will keep their bodies strong enough to fight off any kind of an infestation. I do know people who totally raise their dogs naturally like me that get some of this kind of problem with their dogs, but it usually is just one of the dogs. There's something going on with that dog's immune system that's going to prohibit them from having supports, but they go natural still. They still find a natural way to do that. I use essential oils to support their body. I use the Young Living ones only. I would not use any others. Don't want to, so don't even ask me. That's the ones I'm referring to always. And I feed the raw diet. They get fresh air, exercise, sunshine, all the 8 laws of health. And that's what I do, you know, and that's what I've done. And so one guy was a few years ago, he questioned me about that. He asked me, it was on Facebook, and he said, well, I know the area you live in and there's coyotes and rabbits. And so there's fleas and stuff. And I'm sure you're getting them with the sand and everything. And I went, well, let me ask you this. Since you don't believe me, are you using pesticides? Are you using chemical fertilizers in your yard? Because I don't think it's the coyotes and the rabbits. Some of those ones that do get those animals are sick in some way and will eventually and ultimately die as a result. You know, they'll get eaten or they'll die and something else will eat them when they're dead. The vultures, there's vultures out here. There's all kinds of animals are opportunistic. They're going to survive. He didn't answer me. And that told me right there, that's why his dogs were getting fleas and ticks, because they're using all the toxic poisons. Yep, that's exactly right. And I stick to that. And that's what I do. for my dogs. And that's really all I had to share with you guys today, but except for this quote that I want to close with. And then just go sign up for my newsletter. I don't send them out real often. I'd like to do a weekly thing. I'd really love to build some kind of community with you guys, even if it's on a private group on Facebook, so that we can start to, you know, grow these things together. But this is Mike Donkers. I've corresponded with him. He's a musician, so he gets this whole pleomorphism and frequencies things that I talk about. He wrote a great article for Natural News back in 2008, which I have referenced ever since, and he gave me permission. It's Understanding the True Meaning of Disease. And he wrote, pathogens and microorganisms are part of life. They are the original life forms, and they fulfill a very complex function. All forms of cellular life on Earth share genetic links. Humans are genetically linked to so-called pathogens or microorganisms. We actually consist of bacteria, fungi, viruses, parasites, and other microorganisms. And they form part of our system. Plants and animals are also made up of these. Antoine Beauchamp, by the way, side note, if we had listened to him instead of Pasteur, would be a far different world, and we wouldn't even be in this situation we're in right now in the world. I'm just saying. Look into it. Beauchamp, B-E-C-H-A-M. He discovered that if he stopped fighting, he was a scientist, by the way, if he'd stopped fighting microorganisms and instead improved what he called the milieu, the environment of the cells, through what I just said, the eight laws of health, yo. The so-called pathogens did not disappear, but actually aided in repairing the cells. See, they've got a purpose. By not focusing on the disease, but on healing instead, in his mind, talk about mindset here, Beauchamp witnessed the pathogens doing the same. Fancy that. When he concentrated on the disease, however, and literally tried to combat it, fight it, we're in this war, don't you know? Pathogens proved themselves to be the worst enemy. He showed that microorganisms are the bridge between life and death and the stage in between, disease. Yeah. Okay, so think about that for a moment. All this warring and battling and fighting with all these toxic things are only going to produce more and more virulent ones and forms of it. It's not a war. It's a dance. It's a symphony. It's a symbiosis. And when we dance with it, that's why I love the oils. People always say, which oil will fix this particular virus or bacteria? I said, that's a wrong question. And they always look at me with a lot of blinking eyes. And I'm like, you're asking the wrong question. They don't kill anything. Viruses aren't dead or alive. Parasites are. Bacteria are, but viruses aren't. They activate on protein, or they're inactive. But they live in us. We have more fungi, parasites, and bacteria than we do cells in our bodies. Mm-hmm. Also think about that, please. So what the oils do when something gets out of balance, they help to harmonize. They help the body come to the right frequency so that everything can harmonize, like what Mike just wrote about, which is called pleomorphism. So the cells then begin to work with the body to help the body be well. And, you know, God's thing for us was, and I'm learning this from this guy that I love following his stuff. He wrote a great book on frequencies and health and healing and faith, which is part of my new upcoming course on being tuned into the voice of God. He talked about how God wasn't intending for us to be ill, to have to heal. That wasn't the original intention, although now there's things in place for that. It was always for us to live and be well. That's why you always hear me say be well and prosper even as our souls prosper. It's to be in health and prosper even as our souls prosper. That's in 3 John 2. So think about those things that I've talked about today. Subscribe to this podcast, please. It helps out a lot when you guys do that. Helps out any podcaster you listen to. I subscribe to all the ones I regularly listen to. And subscribe to the newsletter on my blog so that you can, it's right there on the sidebar, so you can get this free ebook. Okay? Thank you. Love you guys. And remember, when you know the truth, when you know Him, then the truth will make you free.
Thank you for listening, and be well, yo. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. 3 John 1, 2. Visit my website at aspenbloompetcare.com to read the blog and the articles, to become part of my essential oils team, and just to learn more. The Doggone Truth Podcast is a production of Aspen Bloom. All rights reserved and may not be resold or utilized in any way without express written permission by Aspen Bloom and Dr. Kim Bloomer. The information I share represents what I, an animal naturopath and an independent distributor of Young Living Essential Oils, have chosen to do to take charge of my own personal health and that of my family and pets. information learned here is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not meant to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, but rather to motivate you to make your own health care and dietary decisions and those of your pets, based upon your own research and in partnership with your health care providers. I encourage you to dig in and make your own informed decisions through your own personal responsibility, research, application, and due diligence. Thank you.